Well, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you've been having a great week. My name is Ryan Levis. I'm the Norfolk Campus Pastor here at Grace, and we're getting excited because we are getting ever closer to opening a new facility in Norfolk. If you're at the Norfolk Campus, miss you guys, miss being together, and it's so great to be able to share with you as we continue in our sermon series, The Story of Hope. We've been talking about how hope, particularly in this season of our country and this season in the world globally, hope is really something we find outside of ourselves, this story that God is writing in the world. And I wanted to start today by talking about something that's been going on in the entertainment world. If you've been on Netflix or Hulu or particularly Disney Plus, you know that this month, Hamilton, the musical, came out on Disney Plus, and you could watch the performance of this show, Hamilton. If you're not familiar with the show, it is a show that uses all these different sorts of types of music, R&B, hip-hop, ballads. It's this incredibly diverse production, and I love it. You saw me in that video right before this sermon. You saw me rapping a little bit, so I dig it. It's a musical about one of the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, who was the first Secretary of the Treasury, and it goes through the Revolutionary War. It goes through the founding of America, the writing of the Constitution. There's actually been some criticism of the play recently because it maybe paints the founding fathers as more heroic than they actually were. Many of them were slave owners. There's some different things to talk about there. What I like about it, even though it doesn't get into that issue in particular, is it really does portray these founding fathers as human. And we're particularly going to talk a little bit later on about Alexander Hamilton, this main character, and some of the flaws that he has. But one of the themes of this play is Alexander Hamilton's temperament, his personality, what he's like. There's this line in one of the most famous songs from the show called My Shot. And he says in this line, I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. What you learn pretty early on about Alexander Hamilton is that he is someone with a chip on his shoulder. He wants to make it. He wants to make a difference. He wants to improve his status. That's his goal. And what's interesting is because of his personality, he goes about it in a certain way. So he has this goal to make this impact in the world, to raise his level of status. And then he has this method of how he's going to get there. And that is by being aggressive, by being incredibly proactive, by working harder than anyone. One of the other songs about Alexander in this play is called Nonstop, because he just works around the clock. He's nonstop working, going all the time. I think one of the things about this play that's really related to us in our culture today is we often have this kind of same method in our own lives, this same way of going about things. We're busy. We're constantly going. We're aggressive. We want to go take it and grab it and take life by the horns and wrestle it to the ground. If you don't believe me, maybe just think about your own life and how busy we've all felt, even with everything slowing down, even with being in quarantine. All of us still have so much going on, and we all feel so busy and overwhelmed all the time, except at least I think that's maybe the general thing. I know I've felt that way at times. We relate to Alexander Hamilton, this guy who's young, scrappy, and hungry, and we want to make a difference. We want to make an impact. We want our lives to count. And so we have this goal that we relate to in the play of Hamilton, making a difference, making an impact. And then there's this method that we've kind of bought into as a culture. We're gonna be scrappy. We're gonna go after it. We're gonna try to be aggressive in any way we can, even if it means being incredibly busy. Now, we're gonna look at a passage today where Jesus is talking. And Jesus is gonna kind of make a comment on this goal and this method that Alexander Hamilton talks about and that you and I oftentimes relate to. And he's going to talk about this goal, and he's going to say, man, this goal really is a good goal, making an impact, making a difference. He's going to tweak it a little bit. But then when it comes to the method, when it comes to how you go about doing this, he's going to flip it all upside down. So we're going to dive in to John chapter 15. It is in the fourth biography about Jesus in the New Testament, these four accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We're diving in John chapter 15, which is the night before Jesus is crucified, and he's with his disciples. And this section of the gospel is often called the Upper Room Discourse because it's where Jesus is sharing some of his most intimate moments, most intimate thoughts with his closest followers. So we're going to dive in, and Jesus starts off right away with this metaphor. Jesus says in John 15, 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." So we have this metaphor that Jesus uses with himself being the true vine. He's like this vine with branches coming off of him, and he describes us as these branches, human beings. We were designed to be connected to Jesus, the one who made us, the one who's redeemed us, and we are called to bear fruit, and the Father is the gardener in this metaphor. But really what I want you to notice in this first couple verses is this theme of bearing fruit. Jesus says the reason that we exist as human beings, the reason we exist as branches connected to him is in order to bear fruit. Now he continues with this same metaphor in verse 3. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit." Again, we see this coming up again. "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Now, Jesus uses this metaphor of bearing fruit all the time throughout the Gospels, throughout these biographies. He uses the word fruit almost over 30 times in his ministry that we have it. And he uses it, but it's not always clear what he means when he talks about bearing fruit. Maybe even as we've been reading it, you're like, what does it mean to bear fruit? But one of the things we know from this passage already is that we are called to do something as branches. We are called to produce something. The way I'd sum it up like this from these first few verses, one of the jobs of a branch is to be productive. One of the jobs of a branch is to be productive. And so I'm using kind of this phrase, be productive, as a synonym for bearing fruit. We are called to produce something that's a benefit to the world, that's a benefit to others. Again, this is maybe in some ways what Alexander Hamilton wanted in this play. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make an impact. He wanted to be productive. But according to Jesus, what does this mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, actually, if you continue in this passage and read a little bit later on, I'd actually encourage you to go and read the second paragraph here, but I'm going to read the last verse of this paragraph. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Jesus says, I want you to go and bear fruit, fruit that's going to last. And what is that fruit? His command to his disciples is to love each other. Jesus says, yes, you've been created as a human being in the image of God to be productive, to make an impact, to raise the game around you and make a difference. And yet, how that difference is going to be defined, how it's going to be evaluated, how it's going to be judged, is through this lens, through this filter of love. Was that action, was that accomplishment, was that thing you created, was it done with love? Because if it's done with love, then it will last. Then it is a part of what it means to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. You can imagine there's lots of things that you can do in the kingdom of God. There's lots of things you can do in life. There's lots of things you can accomplish. You can make a lot of money. You can get a promotion. You can create something. You can build something. But in the kingdom of God, if you want to bear fruit that's going to last, this accomplishment, this drive to produce has to be shaped by the goal of loving other people. This fruit that you're producing on your branch is not for you. It's for others. This is why we have this command to love each other. Jesus continues in this passage. He repeats this metaphor. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I highlighted this word nothing on purpose because here Jesus again is using this metaphor of bearing fruit, being productive. We are called as human beings, we're called, if you're a follower of Jesus, to bear fruit that's going to last. And we've already seen that this is defined by love. But he doesn't just say, you know, in my mind, I'm reading this in a fresh way and I'm expecting it to say, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. That's what I expect Jesus to say. But he literally equates everything that's not bearing fruit to nothing. It is accomplishing nothing if you're not bearing fruit. He emphasizes this, the importance of bearing fruit that will last. Now, this can be something that's maybe a little bit discouraging for us because we think, man, I am trying so hard. I'm doing all these things. My task list is full. But maybe a lot of what I'm doing is not actually accomplishing what I want it to. Maybe a lot of what I'm doing is not really going to count when it all is said and done. We'll see in a little bit how this thought, this idea, is actually doesn't have to be discouraging for us. It can actually be freeing. And I'm excited to get there. But we see this theme of bearing fruit, this theme of loving each other, and how love defines what it means to be a productive human being in the world. This is where Alexander Hamilton's goal of making a difference, making an impact, being productive, raising his status, gets tweaked a little bit by Jesus. He says, yeah, you're designed to produce, you're designed to go after it, to do life, but you're designed to do it with love as the goal. You know the difference here if you've seen a parent-child relationship, where that parent is so determined for that child to make all the decisions that they want them to make and to be successful in all the ways that that child, they want that child to be. But eventually that child does all those things, but the relationship is sacrificed. The parent loses touch with a loving relationship with their child because it's been focused on production without love. We maybe could say the same thing. Maybe you're a student and you've been in school and you've been trying so hard to raise your status, to become friends with the popular crowd, to become friends and to be liked and to have a better reputation and to surround yourself with people who are cool. And yet you get to that point and you've done all the work and you've put and invested so much of your time into raising this status of yours, and you get there and you realize, none of these people care about me. If you're finding yourself in that place, you know what it's like to focus on production without love and to bear fruit that Jesus says ultimately is not going to last. Jesus tweaks this goal for us. If you're a follower of Jesus, your goal is to bear fruit. And even if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not sure what you believe about God, I want you to know Jesus is saying you were designed, you were made to be productive, to make a difference, to bear fruit. It's one of the reasons why this Sunday we're calling people to serve, calling people to use their gifts, use these capacities that God has gifted you with and use it for the kingdom of God through our church. Use those things and make a difference. Now, what's interesting, I mentioned this in the beginning about this play Hamilton, is how particularly the main character, Alexander Hamilton, is portrayed as this person who gets it done and gets after life, but he's ultimately a flawed person. You can see in the play, this guy, he has an affair outside of his marriage in the second act of the play. Spoiler alert. He lets his son get in a duel to protect his own reputation. And instead of trying to convince his son not to do this duel, he convinces him to go and gives him bad advice and gives him guns to go to this duel where he ends up dying. Not only that, but at the climax of the play, Alexander Hamilton, instead of apologizing in his pride, will not apologize to Aaron Burr, and he ends up dying in a duel because of his pride. Alexander Hamilton is this flawed, broken human being, just like all the founding fathers were, just like you and I are. Maybe you can relate to being flawed. Maybe you can relate when we talk about bearing fruit and doing everything with love. It kind of becomes this burden, right? Like, I can't do that. I'm not the type of person who can be that consistent, that disciplined, who has that kind of affection for other people, that kind of selflessness to really care about love above all else. I mean, for me, I see my brokenness all the time. A couple weeks ago, on a work night, I was supposed to go to bed at a certain time so I could wake up and be ready for the day ahead, and I just stayed up instead, watching dumb soccer highlight videos on the internet, eating half a bag of Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its are, you know, my weakness, I guess, but I ate half a bag of Cheez-Its. I ate like 5 mini bags of Skittles because I was just in a mood, and I was undisciplined, and I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't want to do what I knew I wanted to do, and this kind of multiplies itself out through our lives. We see this call to bear fruit. We see this call to be productive. We see this call to obey God and to be the human beings we're created to be, but we can't. We can't. We're just like Alexander Hamilton, flawed, broken, limited. And so it's why it's good news that the theme of this series of the Story of Hope is that your story is never the whole story. It's why this story that God is writing in history is such good news for you and for me, because our hope does not come from our own sense of discipline, our own ability to love other people perfectly. No, it comes from outside of ourselves. It comes from God himself. God has to work. God has to act. God has to be the one who does something in us in order for us to bear the fruit that's going to last. Your story is never the whole story. My story is never the whole story. So if I'm looking at the task in front of me and I feel hopeless, remember, God is outside of us and he can do something about it. That's what we actually saw in the very passage that we just read. I'd love to go back to those verses and just go through them one more time. Jesus said again, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." Jesus, in this metaphor, he shows us that our story is not the whole story. He shows us that the job of a branch, yes, is to bear fruit, but ultimately that production, that fruit comes from a connection to the vine. And if you're not connected to him, his power, his life, his presence, then you're not going to be a branch that bears fruit. He goes on in verse 4. We already read this, but I'm highlighting some different points of it. Jesus says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." A branch cannot bear fruit, cannot be productive unless it's connected to its source of life. If you're not connected to the source, if you're not connected to your Heavenly Father, to Jesus, his Son, who he sent to give us life and power through his death and resurrection, you still exist. You're still a branch. You're probably still accomplishing some things. You're probably still being productive in some different ways. But ultimately, you're not going to produce the fruit that lasts unless you remain in Jesus. I'll talk in a second about a little bit more what that means for us. But I want to read one last time, verse 5. Jesus repeats, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we've seen this goal of our lives, to be productive, to bear fruit. It gets tweaked a little bit by Jesus. It's defined by love. And yet we've seen the method of how we get there is not to be scrappy, is not to be hyper-productive, is not to be super aggressive and busy and constantly trying to get everything done. No, the method is actually the opposite. It's staying connected to our Heavenly Father. It's staying connected to Christ and his power in our lives, because otherwise we are weak and we are broken and we can't do it. This truth, realizing this, has been something I've been meditating on as I'm thinking about this message. And it's been so encouraging to me to realize in my life that my primary job, As a follower of Jesus, my primary job ultimately as a human being is not to be productive, is not to be so focused on bearing fruit. It's to stay connected to the vine. This weekend, we did this big distribution event at the Norfolk campus where we're giving food and supplies and really trying to provide hope for the 757 to those who were in need. And it was this big, huge production and organization, and there were probably about 50 volunteers there, all socially distanced with masks and with stations. And our local outreach team did an incredible job organizing this. But I'm there, and I'm in the midst of the hustle and the bustle, and I'm talking to people, and we're trying to organize things, and there's problems to solve, and there's situations to manage. And in those moments, for me to be able to look at my Heavenly Father and say, Lord, my job right now is not to be productive. My job right now is not to be all over the place busy trying to get it all done. My job right now is to stay connected to you, to be one with you, because I can get a lot of stuff done. We can solve all the problems in the world, but if I don't do it with the love that you have decided to show me, then it's ultimately not going to last. I want this same kind of freedom for you. I want this same kind of encouragement for you. This reality that we can't bear fruit in ourselves, we can't be productive meaningfully on our own, it doesn't have to be discouraging, it actually be freeing. The pressure's off. The pressure's off. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to control everything. Let God work through you. Stay connected to him. The way I want to say it for you today, the way I think we see it in this passage is a branch's primary job is not producing fruit. It's one of the jobs. It's one of the reasons one of the things we were designed for, but it's not the primary thing. A branch's primary job is not producing fruit. It's staying connected to the vine, staying connected to the source, staying connected to Jesus. I want to put it maybe even more simply. A branch cannot be productive without staying connected. A branch cannot be productive without staying connected. So today, what would it look like for you to stay connected over being productive? What would it look like for you to prioritize this relationship with God instead of being productive for God? Well, I just want to ask you this question because I think this passage begs the question, right? Practically, what does it look like to remain or abide in Jesus? Sometimes you'll hear people talk about abiding in Christ. This word abide comes from the King James translation, he who abideth in me. But we see it's literally just means to remain. It means to stay, to abide, to remain in Jesus. What does it look like? Well, if you've been around church at all, this is the point where you maybe expect us to talk about spiritual disciplines, spending time with God in scripture, in prayer, taking a Sabbath, things like gathering for corporate worship and those ways that those kind of lay down patterns for us to connect with our Heavenly Father. And yet, I think what this passage in particular is talking about goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than those practices. Those practices are incredible. They're important. I hope that you have them in your life in some way that works for you. But ultimately, what Jesus is talking about here is a deep relationship with him moment by moment, a posture throughout our lives, throughout our days, throughout our meetings throughout the day, throughout our jobs, throughout the ways we interact with others, that we have a posture of relating and staying close, staying connected to God in those moments. It doesn't mean we're praying all the time consciously, but it means that we have this posture where we're connected to God. I felt like I was getting closer to it during this big event because I remembered what my main job was as a branch. I remembered it was to stay connected. I'd encourage you over the course of this next week, over the rest of this summer, remember that the pressure's off. Because of what Jesus has said here, we know it's true. And because of what Jesus has done, he demonstrated that it was true, that we cannot produce anything worthwhile in our lives. Whether you're Alexander Hamilton with all the power and the prestige, or whether you're just a normal person trying to make it, trying to do life, I want you to remember this week that your job is not to be productive, it's to stay connected. I actually want this to be kind of be our mantra this week for all of us. Maybe you're somebody who has a lot of different kids running around your house, and you're trying to parent, you're trying to guide, you're trying to cook dinner, you're trying to do all these different things for them, and it just gets hectic and it's overwhelming. I'd encourage you in that moment when it's overwhelming, In that moment where you're way too busy, slow down for 1 second and repeat this to yourself. My main job today is not to be productive. It's not to do this perfectly. It's not to make sure everything gets done. It's to stay connected to God, to stay connected to Him, and then I can do what I'm called to do with love. If you're somebody who maybe your job is shifting all over onto your feet right now because of COVID and because everything's changing and it's all overwhelming, what would it look like in that place of overwhelm? Say, my main job today is not to be productive, it's to stay connected. What would it look like if you're a senior in high school maybe, and you're approaching this coming year and you're thinking, how is this gonna look? This was supposed to be my victory lap. This was supposed to be the time that I figure out where I go to college or where I find a job. What scholarships am I gonna get? Who my friends are gonna be? Maybe it's the first time you have a license and you're like, man, I can't even go and enjoy that. What would it look like to be overwhelmed, to be stressed out, to have anxiety about the future, but in that moment, and say, God, You made me. You made me in Your image. I know that You've called me to make an impact, to make a difference in the world. I know You've called me to be productive, but that's not my primary job this year. My primary job is to stay close to You. My primary job is to stay connected. It's to stay connected. And so would we this week, would we the rest of this summer take the pressure off? Would we not be discouraged, but would we be encouraged? Would we have a sense of freedom now? Because it's not on us. We're not in control. We can't do it. We should stay close to Jesus, close to the God who gives us His power and His life and ultimately His productivity of bearing fruit that's going to last. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this liberating, this freeing truth. We thank You for wherever we are at on our spiritual journey that we don't have to take on the burden, we don't have to take on the pressure to make something of ourselves, to make something of our life. We just have to stay connected to You. And so God, all of us, wherever we are at, I pray we take one step closer, one step deeper this week to remember that all of our life and all of our power and all of our productivity comes ultimately from You. And I pray that our church and our community and all of those watching would live lives of love, lives that bear fruit that would last forever because it's done in Your power. It's done because we are in Your and walking in Your presence. So God, we pray all these things and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to give you some discussion questions before you go so you can discuss this with your friends this week. It looks a little bit long, but I just want to read these real quick. When you think about the year of 2020, what is some of the fruit you've seen produced in your life, whether good or bad? Looking back on 2020, what kind of fruit has been produced? Talk about that. Now, number two, this is a quote that kind of sums up the message today. We must always prioritize staying connected to God over being productive for God. In which areas of your life do you need to apply this truth most this week, and why? And then thirdly, what does staying connected to God look like practically for you in your day-to-day life? We're all different. We all have different ways of relating, all have different ways that we connect spiritually to our Heavenly Father. What does that look like for you? Discuss that with those you love, those you live with, those that you interact with. We're so glad that you decided to join us today for our service. If you want to have a time to connect and maybe discuss the sermon, meet some other people, hang out with other people from Grace, we're going to have an after party right after this service. I would encourage you, all that information is in the chat and it's also on the screen now. Would love to see you at our Zoom after party. Otherwise, we hope you have a great rest of the day and a great week. We'll see you next time.